This is from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all know the joy of opening gifts. Birthdays and Christmases are just so much fun. We're often surprised when we open gifts from others, and we smile from ear to ear as someone opens a gift that we have given to them. But what if we gave someone a gift and they simply set it aside and never opened it? We would probably be disappointed and maybe even a little bit sad. If I had bought and wrapped a gift specifically for a friend or a family member, it would hurt my feelings if they didn't open it up and enjoy it, especially if it was something that they really needed. Each one of us have been given the gift of God's grace through Jesus Christ. And the question is, will we open it? Will we open the gift and let it move in us? Last week, we focused on John Wesley's conversion and transformation at Aldersgate, on Aldersgate Street, when he realized the power of God's grace in his life. Wesley understood in a way he never had before God's complete and unwavering acceptance of him. And it freed Wesley from his feelings of failure after his time in the colonies, so that he could continue to minister to people back in England. His understanding of grace, the word charis in Greek, continued to evolve through his study of scripture and other Christian writings, through his personal experiences and his own preaching. Charis, or grace, appears 148 times in the New Testament alone. We may use the word to mean to move with ease like a dancer, to act with extreme kindness, or to have style. But the Apostle Paul uses the word this way. Grace is an act of kindness, an expression of selfless love that is completely undeserved and given without any expectation of repayment. As a result, Wesley's deep study and his own personal experience of grace, Methodists believe in three types of grace on which Wesley wrote and preached, and they are prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace. Wesley's understanding comes from his study of Paul's letters, particularly the passage from Ephesians that we have before us today. Paul writes that we are saved by faith alone, not by our works. That's a hard thing for many of us to really understand and comprehend. And for Wesley, this is what he calls prevenient grace. Prevenient means to come before. We are given the gift of God's grace before we even begin to understand or comprehend what grace is or even who God is. And that's why we baptize infants like many other denominations. We believe that from the very beginning, God has blessed us and forgiven us. We don't have to be able to give a thorough explanation or write a paper or pass a test about God and all that God has done. We don't have to complete a checklist. There's nothing we have to do or can do to make God accept us. God's love and grace are simply given as a gift. At some point in our lives, however, we begin to understand the human condition and all of its complexities. We learn about good and evil. We begin to see that we do sin and that God forgives us. If we've been raised in the Christian faith or come to it later in life, we learn that we are made right with God by repenting, by naming our sin, asking for forgiveness, and then turning back toward God. The grace that God offers us in this act is what Wesley calls justifying grace. When we are justified, we are made right with God. Now, some people like to use the image of a house to talk about these types of grace. I often do this in confirmation class. Prevenient grace is the porch of the house. We have it before we even go inside or cross the threshold. The doorway is justifying grace. When we open the door, open ourselves to God's grace, when we realize that forgiveness and mercy is what is needed to live fully and completely, and God offers that to us, we go through the door and we experience justifying grace. Sanctifying grace is experienced as we live and dwell in the house, as we respond to God's gift of love and grace, we begin to live as Jesus called us to live. We respond to the justifying grace through our worship, through our study and service. And in those actions, through those actions, we receive even more grace. We make ourselves at home in the ways of God. That is sanctifying grace. We're growing and nurturing and maturing in our faith by being involved in the body of Christ and living out our faith each and every day. The works and activities that we do as a response to God's call and God's justifying grace do not save us. But God is at work in those acts, and as we do them, we experience even more grace. When Paul says, "For we are what he made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life," this is what he is talking about. God has created us to be the hands and feet of Christ, but we have to respond to God's call. It is a choice. We can say yes or no. When we say yes, we are justified and eventually sanctified, but that is not the end of the journey. These are not one-time experiences. In fact, we often make our way back to the doorway. We may stand in it for a while. Sometimes we'll even go back on the porch for a bit, maybe sit in a chair and meditate for a while before coming back through the door, crossing the threshold, and really settling into the house of sanctifying grace, dwelling in this gift of transformation. Sanctifying grace does produce fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, as named in Paul's letter to the Galatians. We show forth love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our daily living. Furthermore, our works, or the way we serve and praise God, are what Wesley calls means of grace. In other words, we experience God's grace through them. Holy Communion, Bible study, worship, they are all means of grace. And that grace just kind of snowballs. It continues to grow and grow. John Wesley grew in grace as he continued his ministry in Bristol, which is a city about 100 miles west of London. George Whitfield, who's up there on the screen with Wesley, a young friend, invited John to join him in preaching to the coal miners of the region outdoors. Like Wesley, Whitfield had been banned from preaching in most London churches. So this city, a major shipping port filled with the working poor, became the birthplace of Methodism. Wesley struggled with this concept of preaching outdoors at first, but when he realized that much of Jesus' teaching happened outdoors, like the Sermon on the Mount, he took on this practice. During the first month of preaching in Bristol, Wesley reports 47,500 people came to hear him preach outside. Soon, two societies formed, and then smaller groups of classes or bands, and before long, these groups had grown so much that a building was needed to meet in. And so the new room, which you see on the screen, was built by two of these societies who came together and called themselves the United Society. Bristol became the center of the Methodist movement in Great Britain and in Kingswood, a small village east of there, which was also known for the movement's growth. That growth, however, came not only through Wesley's teaching and preaching. It came because lay people, like all of you, were inspired, and they committed themselves to small group meetings, regular worship, regular devotions, and serving others. Adam Hamilton, in his book Revival, reflects that today a lot of people get stuck in prevenient grace, and they never move beyond it. They just hang out on the porch. Others accept God's justifying grace. They accept Christ and his saving work. They go through the door, but they never really dwell in the house. They never experience sanctifying grace. They've been born anew, but they're content to remain infants in the faith. In Bristol, small group meetings, preaching, and singing were what led to the organization of what we now know as the United Methodist Church. The new room, this is it from the outside, where singing and preaching happened nightly, was tantamount to its success. People grew in their faith and became strong disciples of Jesus Christ because of these practices. Wesley was bringing people's faith alive again, providing ways for people to grow in their relationship with God beyond Sunday morning worship. In order to experience revival ourselves, we need to commit ourselves to these practices. We have to be committed before we can expect anyone else to be committed. Wesley believed that the Spirit is already at work among the lost by means of God's prevenient grace. Those seeds are planted in people's lives. What the lost need is someone to share the good news with them. Growth in congregations happens because people who are currently active, like you, who are committed to growing in their own walk with Jesus want to share that, want to share what they have experienced with other people. People come to church or come to faith because someone invited them. And they stay connected because they get involved. They get involved in some way to nurture their growth. If we are not continually focused on this, we won't grow individually or corporately. We won't grow spiritually or numerically. So think about that question. Have you looked at the gift that God has given you lately? Have you taken it out of the box and made good use of it? God wants us to enjoy the gift of grace, to enjoy what God has offered us. And God doesn't want us to keep that gift to ourselves. God does want us to live it out in our lives and to keep passing the gift on to others. So who do you know who needs to hear the good news of grace? I'm sure you know at least one person who needs to hear the good news. Or if you need to be reminded of the gift, what do you need to do to rediscover its power, to be revived again? I pray that we can all enjoy the gift of God's grace, that we can bask in it and continue to grow in Christ together, that we can live in the house of faith, but also to share what we're experiencing so that the church can experience revival again. Amen.